Well, thank you, Barb. Thank you, Pastor Tim, for leading some worship so far this evening. Appreciate you doing that, especially when I've been out of town here the last few days, and it's good to be back together with you tonight. I was able to catch a little bit of the service as I was sitting in the airport this morning, so I knew that the stream was working for one thing, and I got to see and participate a little bit in the songs that you were singing together as well. But yeah, I had a really refreshing good time with some old friends in Florida and just being reinvigorated as well, and ministry and calling as well. The seminar focused on discipleship on one end, and discipleship ministry I've been a part of for several years, so just hearing more stories about God's work through that, and being kind of recalled to some of that work, and new ideas for it as well. And the other part had to do with the public reading of Scripture, which of course is fitting as we come to the reading of God's Word, and it got me thinking of some ideas maybe how we could do this more together here at Friendship too, but that was just a neat piece to participate in, using some of these audio versions that are out there of the Bible, and spending a little longer time together in community, just listening and reflecting on God's Word together. So maybe more to come, as maybe more conversations in the future about some of that. But for tonight, we want to turn again to Habakkuk chapter 3, page 765, if you're looking at the Bibles in front of you, Habakkuk chapter 3. We've been in this short little book the last 3 weeks together and concluding tonight. And just a reminder, maybe you haven't been here each Sunday evening, just of where we've been with this book. It starts off with a problem going on amongst God's people. And Habakkuk is recognizing this probably with the faithful remnant and calling to God to act, to turn around this injustice and the things that are going wrong amongst God's people. And God responds, he answers, and he says, I'm going to do something. But of course, he says, it's something you wouldn't believe. I'm going to send Babylon, this power coming from the east, who's going to come and subdue Israel. And of course, the bad news turns worse in Habakkuk's mind when he hears that. And response to God, wrestling with this in faith, we hear there, understanding, okay, God, I see how you are punishing your people through Babylon, but struggling as well with why Babylon, and how can this people that's so opposed to you help move your plan forward in using them in this way? And God responds in chapter 2, first and foremost, by calling Habakkuk, calling his people, his faithful people, to faith. It's how my righteous people live. And then he also assures them that he is going to deal with Babylon. We had all these woes in chapter 2. This is what's the end of the puffed up one, is really what God is saying. So all that's been going on. Now in chapter 3, we come to this conclusion, really this song, as we'll see, that describes comes to us in chapter 3, and really this last response. And as we're going through this, I want us to keep in mind here that verse 2, verse 4, about the righteous living by faith. And what does faith, living by faith, look like in practice? How does that come about in our lives? What does it look like in the midst of things we are praying about tonight, that we're lamenting in our lives, that are going on in the world? What does that look like? And I think we get a beautiful picture of that here in Habakkuk chapter 3. So let's read together this wonderful word of the Lord. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shigionoth. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and his praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand where his power was hidden. Plague went before him. Pestilence followed his steps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled and the age-old hills collapsed, but he marches on forever. I saw the tents of Cushan in distress, the dwellings of Midian in anguish. Were you angry with the rivers, Lord? Was your wrath against the streams? Did you rage against the sea when you rode your horses and your chariots to victory? You uncovered your bow. You called for many arrows. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhed. Torrents of water swept by. The deep roared and lifted its waves on high. Sun and moon stood still in the heavens at the glint of your flying arrows, at the lightning of your flashing spear. In wrath you strode through the earth, and in anger you threshed the nations. You came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. You crushed the leader of the land of wickedness. You stripped him from head to foot. With his own spear you pierced his head when his warriors stormed out to scatter us, gloating as though about to devour the wretched who were in hiding. You trampled the sea with your horses, churning the great waters. I heard, and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones, my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As you're taking in that word that we just were able to share together, thinking about it, you could probably notice the poetic and song-like quality of these verses. And that's because it really is a song. Hopefully you can see some of that coming out, even in the language, that first verse there on Shigianoth. We're not quite sure, but this is probably some sort of musical direction. And then you maybe note in your footnotes, I think, in your Bible there, that little A that's by, I think it's B, actually, that's by verse 3. After the word paran, you go down to the bottom there, you see the Hebrew word selah there, word of uncertain meaning. This is probably a stanza marker for this particular song. So you could think of it this way, and this is not 100% for sure, but verse 2 would be like the refrain or the chorus of the song. Then verse 1 would be from verse 3 down through verse 8. Then that selah appears again. Verse 9 is starting with verse 2. Verse 9 down to verse 13a. And then the last verse comes in verse 13b to verse 15. And then, of course, you know, sometimes we have these bridges in our songs, and that could be what you think of being 16 through 19, this bridge that takes us back to that wonderful chorus in verse 2. So wonderful kind of rhythmic quality, poetic quality to these words that we've been able to share together tonight. One of the questions that comes up with this, is this a song of prayer that's a longing of Habakkuk? In other words, is this Habakkuk saying, after hearing what God said in chapter 2, right, all those woes, all the ways he's going to deal with those who are puffed up like Babylon, is this Habakkuk, as he's recounting past works of the Lord, saying, well, do it now, Lord? Or is this more of another the vision of God, again, displaying what he's going to do, what is coming forward? I think probably first and foremost, it's that first piece, this longing. Habakkuk still praying, Lord, I want you to act now. I want you to reverse this work of Babylon, to work against them, even as he's recalling this. But I think there's a both and here, too. These verses are both looking forward to a future vindication, a vision of what God will do, especially seen in what he's done before, but also this longing. We talked about the language of lament, this longing for God to do that now. And you can hear that in the refrain, as we'll talk about here now in a moment. And certainly as we think about the reaction of Habakkuk the prophet in verse 16, how he is still almost weakened by what's to come. We know that he's still longing for this to be reversed. And how does that work out with his faith? So let's get into this song together. First, that wonderful refrain. I just want to say it's a refrain worth repeating. Those words in verse 2, Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord, right? Just praising God. What a fitting way to start any song, any prayer, any refrain. And then repeat them in our day. Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. It reminds so much, and many have noted this, of the Lord's Prayer that we often pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Lord, we know what you've promised. We have seen in our lives and in the past what you've done. Lord, do them again now. Show yourself. Show your power. Bring your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Maybe you can feel the rhythm of this song as we go through the verses and you hear about these things that God has done in the past, and then you go back to that refrain. Lord, do them again in our day. Do them again. We stand in awe of what you've done. Do them again. In wrath, remember mercy. Can feel the rhythm of this song and of this word, not just of Habakkuk, but of God's people going up. And really what we see in the song, if you go to all these verses, are first and foremost a remembrance of God's mighty acts. Maybe you picked out, even though this is poetic language, some of the connections with the story of God's people. When you hear those geography points of Timon and Mount Paran, this points us back to Mount Sinai, and really to the journey of the people of God out of Egypt, out of slavery, through the Red Sea, out into the wilderness, where they received the Ten Commandments, all the way to the Promised Land, where, of course, God would lead them in giving them this promised possession. And so if you look at some of those words there, you can hear some of this. You certainly see the flashing and the lightning and the power of God. And we, of course, know how he appeared in that way on Mount Sinai when the law was delivered. You can think about the nations trembling. Remember when they came to the Promised Land, and think of Rahab and all the nations, the people of Jericho are trembling, having heard what God has done. You can hear about the tents of Cushan and Midian in anguish, and God gave his people victory over them. And think about the sun standing still and that victory God gave Joshua and his people when he made that happen. He made the sun stand still, right? All these different things, the waters, and you think of the parting of the Red Sea, the parting of the Jordan River, right? So much of this is recounting the wonderful things that God has done. And I just want to point out again, and I think we do this often, but for good reason, how important that is for us to do in our lives. As we think about living a life of faith, so much of it is expression of it is recounting and remembering God's mighty acts on behalf of his people. Certainly, we think to Jesus and what he has done at the cross and his death and resurrection. We can think of this full history that's laid out here for Scripture, but we can think of it in our own lives, I hope, too, and the ways we've seen God at work. We've seen him leading us and shepherding us and walking beside us and carrying us. We've seen him vanquish perhaps foes before us. Right? Are we remembering? Are we recounting? We need to do that. It gives us hope. It grounds us. It's an expression of our faith. Right? Think about how this reminds you in the swirling things going on in the world, always chaos in our world at this time, to be grounded in who God is and what he's done, to have hope in that. And he's going to act again because he said so, just like he did here to Habakkuk in chapter 2. And to recount them is to say to God, we trust in you. We've seen it before. We'll see it again. Right? This remembering of what God has done. We see that all throughout this wonderful song. And I just wanted to note as well how each stanza ends. So verse 8 is the end of stanza 1. The first sentence of verse 13 is the end of stanza 2. Verse 15 is the end of stanza 3. And just note how each of them ends with a song of victory. Verse 8, talking about, were you angry with the rivers? Was your wrath against the streams? Did you rage against the sea? No, God, you triumphed over evil forces is really the answer there. Your chariots rode to victory. Verse 13a, you came to deliver, to give victory to your people, to save your anointed one. Verse 15, you trampled the sea with your horses, churning the great waters. You can hear Habakkuk longing for this, and God's people longing for this again, right? Imagine them returning to verse 2. Lord, we've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Bring them again in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. So there is that longing, and this is why it's a good song for us too, because we have that longing. So we talk about the situation with Russia and Ukraine, or could talk about the pandemic the last couple of years. You can think personally in your life. As we recount the acts of the Lord, it also makes us long to see them again. But it also gives us hope, right? There is victory with God. No one can stand against him, right? Rejoice the Lord as king, we just said a moment ago. No one can contest him on his throne, right? There is no other. So there is this hope we have, and there is this longing as well. As that song comes to a close, I really just want to spend the rest of our time looking at these closing verses, because I think this is where the rubber meets the road. That description in verse 16 is of the prophet still trying to come to grips with the fact that Babylon's coming. He's expressed this song, and he's expressed faith in the Lord. He's still expressing faith, but my knees are trembling. My lips are quivering. My heart is pounding. I'm going to wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Babylon is still coming. Right, how to handle the news that our enemies aren't going to be defeated or dealt with in our desired timing or way. Habakkuk, the other faithful remnant at this time, would have loved to see Babylon discarded, done away with, before any of this invading would happen, before they would come and destroy the temple and take people captive. Of course. But God says that's not going to be the case, right? He's uttered his word. It's not going to turn around. Babylon's coming. He's using them as his instrument. How do you deal with that? Or how do we deal with that in our lives, right? There's many enemies we might deal with. Again, you might think geopolitically of what's going on, of course, in Europe with Russia and Ukraine. You can think of, you know, cancer in our lives, that being an enemy that we face, or other illness or disease. You can think of just other struggles we're having with sin or other things. And we say, God, we want to see this defeated. We want to see this taken out. We've seen you do it before. We want to see you do it again. But sometimes his answer is not what we desire, or in the timing we desire, and the way that we want him to do that. How do we handle that? Right? What do we expect from God in this regard? I think this is a challenge for me. It's a challenge for us in our faith. Do we say to God, yes, we'll put our faith in you as long as you do what we want on our terms? That is not uncommon, is it? I think all of us, if we're honest, have probably felt that way at some point or another. We say, yeah, of course we'll trust you when things go our way. God, when you respond in the way we have in mind. And it brings to mind for us what kind of a Savior we're looking for. The one who will do just what we want? When we want it? It's not going to work with God. Not in this way now, and we still, of course, can't always see the full plan. Think of Jesus with his disciples, and at that time, of course, well, you're going to take out the Romans, right? I mean, here's the enemy, very clearly. And Jesus says, no, that's not why I've come. I've come to deal with a bigger problem, actually, sin and death, and defeating the evil one, to truly bring you back to God. But how hard that was to grasp. Here's the enemy. We want them dealt with now. We want to be free. We want to live in this way. And you could see the struggle in Jesus' time as he was ministering that people had with that. This isn't what they expected. This isn't necessarily what they wanted, or at least not the timing. I know that can be a struggle for me sometimes as well, when I think I know the timing really well. God, this is how it should go. We prayed about this. Why wouldn't you respond? God, how is this working out your plan? Why would you use Babylon? Why this warfare in Europe? Why this cancer? Why this fill in the blank? Lots of different things. We all face it. Right? What does faith look like in the midst of this? Habakkuk's dealing with that too. And he's been very forthright with the Lord, expressing the struggle. But we see here at the end this expression of faith. And you can call it the bridge of the song, this bridge of faith, and wonderfully written and spoken. Even though the fig tree does not bud, even though there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails, even though the fields produce no food, even though there's no sheep in the pen, no cattle in the stalls, the situation is still not what I would like it to be. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Yet I will be joyful in my God and my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, and he enables me to stand and to tread on the heights. Right? This expression of faith, so incredible, and an incredible ending to this letter. And I was pondering this week, and I wanted to think about it together with you tonight. Well, what changed that made Habakkuk come to this expression of faith? I mean, think about the way he's coming to the Lord at the beginning of this. How long, O Lord, must I call for help? We're crying out violence, and you won't do anything. How are you going to tolerate wrongdoing? All this going on. Justice is being perverted. And he comes to this point, and he has this wonderful expression of faith. What's changed? Not the situation, has it? Babylon's still coming. There's still injustice being perverted and going on in Israel. The situation hasn't changed. What's happened? We contend that Habakkuk has this expression. His heart is moved because he's encountered the Lord. He's been in his presence. He's received that response. And even though it's hard to digest, he can't help but be changed as he thinks about the Lord and his goodness and what he's done and his promise of what he will do. Maybe think of another word of scripture in Psalm 73. And there the psalmist is wrestling in much similar ways, you know, about the evil and their prospering and just the way things often go in this world, and almost despairing at it. And being honest and saying, you know, my heart was really troubled about this, but then I was in the sanctuary of the Lord. And then I was in the presence of God, and things change. Because when God is present, and when we see him, and we acknowledge him, and we hear his word to us, it shapes us. It does change us. It creates this faith, even though the situation has not changed. Even though we still deal with all these enemies in our lives, and even within ourselves, we can still live and proclaim our faith in God. Of course, you think about that in relation to Jesus Christ now, and our encounter with him, and believing in him, and knowing what he's done for us. When you know, and you remember, you bring to mind, and you believe that Jesus has come down from heaven, right? Despite this massive chasm between us and God and our rebellion, he's come down from heaven and has taken on our flesh and has gone to the cross in our place, has defeated the enemy. Even though we're still dealing with all these skirmishes, he's defeated the enemy. The outcome's not in doubt. He's raised from the dead. He's living the life he's going to bring us all to in eternity. And when you believe that, when you encounter that time and again in your faith, it changes us. It changes us. Right? It's not that this expression of lament and struggle is not faithful. It is. But eventually the song always turns back to this one at the end. It's the rhythm of the Psalms. It's the rhythm of this song as well. Even though these things are still going on, Lord, even though there's still cancer, even though there's still disease, even though there's still warfare, even though there's still sin and broken relationships, and yet I will rejoice in my God. I will rejoice in my Savior. I know that in him I have strength. What a word of faith. This is what it looks like, brothers and sisters, to live by faith. Not that the situation changes. We'd love to see it. And sometimes God does act in the ways we are hoping for. But not always, of course, because we're not always seeing it. Sometimes our hopes are misaligned. But God is there. He's promised. He's acted. He's done these things before. All right, we can sing that song too. The Lord is my joy. The Lord is our strength. Even as we're dealing with these struggles. Even as we're in the midst sometimes of seeming defeat, even though Babylon's still coming, as it were, we can express this faith, this song, to our God. And as we close tonight, I just wanted to return to that word, verses 13 and 14, because I think it wonderfully points us ahead. It almost seems out of place where it comes here. You came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. Of course, we think now of the true anointed one, Jesus Christ. You crushed the leader of the land of wickedness. You stripped him from head to foot. With his own spear, you pierced or you crushed his head. Think of Genesis 3, all the way, those many, many years before, when God said to the serpent how his head would strike the heel, the offspring of the woman. Of course, we see that in Jesus. God delivers us through his son, Jesus Christ, through his true anointed one. We have that. We hold it. We believe it. No one can take it away. No situation of the world can take it away. Yes, we lament. Yes, we cry out. Yes, we wrestle with God. But at the end of the day, we are a people who live by faith. What does that expression look like for us in our lives, in our life together as God's people? How can we be giving that testimony and singing that song, even as we're hearing this news going on in the world? Even as we're dealing with the struggles in our lives, the righteous God says, we'll live by faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father, we thank you again just for the joy of being able to receive your word. Lord, that you would speak to us at all is something that should give us just pause, make us stand in wonder. Yet you do continue to speak to us, to call us, to remind us of what you've done, of who you are, of the promises that continue to go before us. Father, in this moment, we pray that we would know the presence and power of your Holy Spirit with us now, convicting our hearts in faith again to trust your word to us, that you are God, still seated on your throne, that you have saved us through your anointed one, Jesus Christ, that even though the enemy might rage and foam at the mouth and try to mess things up now, he cannot take away your love for us in Christ. Father, firm us up again through our faith in you. Keep us standing on you, the rock that you are. And Lord, lead us through your Spirit to be expressing our trust, to be expressing our faith. Lord, even as we're longing for your kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven, to do so with great trust that what you said, all of it, will surely come to pass. We lift this all to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.